Our passage this morning is from 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 7 through 10. Hear the word of the Lord. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. Let us pray. Gracious God, we always thank you for the opportunity to worship you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. You are my rock and my redeemer. In Christ's name we do pray. And all of the church said, amen, amen. So I know it's a little bit early. You've probably had a couple cups of coffee by now. I know I have. I will try not to act like I'm on a caffeine high, but I really am on a caffeine high. So just so you know, just be prepared for what's about to take place. I'm kidding. So by the showing of your hands, how many of you believe that our God is a God of abundance? Raise them high. Amen. Then you would have to agree that one of the most perplexing truths is a question that I have to ask in the opening moments of our time together. If God truly is more than enough, then why are we always running on empty? If God truly is enough, then why are we always running on empty? Over the next few months, I will tell you a little bit about myself as I preach and teach. And I wanted you to know this morning that I did not acknowledge my call into ministry until my early 30s. I'm not going to tell you how old I am, though. And into ordained ministry much later. I was a self-proclaimed butcher, baker, and candlestick maker. And as I think about ministry today, I am still a butcher, a baker, and a candlestick maker. As I engage this call into ministry, I want to let you know that I experienced God in ways that were miraculous and unimaginable. I have witnessed God transform a young college student from a drug addict to a committed soul for Christ. I can testify to reconciliation between a father and a daughter whom she had never met shortly before his death. And as a hospital chaplain and a daughter myself, I've witnessed the peaceful transition of a committed soul for Christ. Through scripture, faith, and experience, I know that the Holy Spirit transforms hearts and lives. And I've also quickly realized while serving God's people how frail we are as human beings. We may not look like each other or even have a remote understanding of one another, but we are all connected by God's grace and through the internal and eternal movement of the Holy Spirit. Ezekiel's prophetic message reminded us of how God breathes life into dry, desolate places. How God breathes life into people who need to be resurrected. And we, as the body of Christ, are the promise of new life. Yet here is the divine paradigm. We, as followers of Jesus Christ, have a treasure in these frail bodies. Frail bodies. The Apostle Paul in 2 Corinthians 4 is delivering a message of encouragement and hope. He's delivering it to this church in Corinth, and throughout his letters, he is addressing issues involving their internal and external relationships. It seems as if he was reminding them of who they are as people of the way and as followers of Jesus Christ. But not only to God, and not only to the community, but to one another. In verse 7, Paul writes, But we have this treasure in clay jars. A paradigm is typically an example or pattern of something, a model. And of course, divine is from or like God. And this morning doesn't ask this age-old question like you see up here on the screen, which came first, the chicken or the egg, or even as the bulletin suggests. But this morning we are called to open our hearts, minds, and souls and respond to these words. But you have a treasure in clay jars. Some of your Bible translations say earthen vessels or clay pots. It's easy to stop by Walmart or Target, Williams-Sonoma or old-time pottery, and to be honest, some of you will today, for a beautifully decorated jar of clay. You may plant flowers in them and place it on the burial site of a loved one. You may display this pottery around your homes. We see these clay pots everywhere that we go. But during this time in Corinth, a clay jar was cheap, it was breakable, it was replaceable. Some clay jars served as storage for valuables, but most often these clay jars served as garbage cans and vessels used for holding human waste. So for a moment, if you are willing and able, I want to ask you to stand. In this passage, Paul is using a perfect metaphor for who we are as we stand before God. On the outside, unstable, unprotected, maybe a little wobbly in the knees, maybe really strong, but still fragile and not the most secure. But within your lowly bodies, your expendable bodies, lies a treasure. You may be seated. A treasure is something waiting to be discovered, or it can be someone waiting to be noticed. See, a treasure is not a treasure until it is found and appointed a value. Think about the antique roadshow or storage wars, where people find or obtain items that only become treasures once a value is appointed. Regardless of your age, your background, your culture, your physical abilities, your housing situation, your education level, your personal circumstance, as believers and followers of Jesus Christ, you are walking around daily with this priceless jewel of the Holy Spirit within each of you. We don't have to come on Sunday and worship and raise our hands and sing. The Holy Spirit is with us wherever we go. This divine paradigm, this treasure within each of us is God's power and God's strength to emit Jesus Christ instead of ourselves in all that we do. Yet, even with this power, things that come up around us tend to bring us down, and sometimes we have the tendency, like those in the valley of dry bones, to become angry, to lose faith and hope. I have found repeatedly the people I know, from family to friends to colleagues to peers, And even myself need to be encouraged on a regular basis. I don't know about you, probably no one in here needs to be encouraged this morning, but I want to tell you that I continue to hear over and over again, Lord, I don't have time for myself or time for my family. Lord, why do I have to? You fill in the blank. Lord, why isn't the church growing, or why aren't the people being transformed? I'm sorry, that was mine. But seriously, how many times are we repeating these questions as we run from place to place while our priceless treasure is devalued, undernourished, and forgotten? See, we have God not only with us as Emmanuel, but in us. Sometimes we know the price of everything, but the value of nothing. We know the price of a new car, but not the value of loved ones. We know the price of a vacation, but not the value of time. We know the price Jesus paid on the cross as we worship together, but not the value of his Holy Spirit. This is a divine paradigm. I'm here to tell you this morning. You have the power, because of this treasure, to make short-term sacrifices for a long-term gain. You have the power, because of this treasure, to connect with God's people, to meet one new person every month coming out of your comfort zone. You have the power, because of this treasure, to grow disciples of Jesus Christ, moving from student to teacher while committing to serve in the body and life of this church. You have the power, because of this treasure, as God's ministry within us. I don't know if you feel the stirring of the Holy Spirit when I walk through here and we sang, we worship together. God is on the move. We just need to follow. Well, let me tell you, I did not pull that out of thin air. I love to be able to exegete or go line by line in the biblical text. So if you have your Bible, verse 1, Paul writes, therefore, since God, through God's mercy, we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret, shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. It is because of this treasure that we do not lose heart when we watch the news. It is because of this treasure that we pray before we head out and tackle our day. It is because of this treasure that we do not stop trying to make a difference in the lives of those around us with a smile, a hug, a listening ear, or even a few kind words. It is because of this treasure that we press forward to journey and not to judge. We have God's treasure in these feeble jars. God is in us. And this is the divine paradigm, because it makes absolutely no sense. For this passage, for me, always engaged this question, why would an all-powerful, all-knowing God place this priceless treasure in these earthen vessels called bodies? Paul, in his infinite wisdom, answered that question in the text. He says it's because of this all-surpassing power to overcome, to move through circumstance, to impact our landscape, to welcome the stranger, to give out of abundance and not out of lack, is from God and not from you or from me. Our bodies, these clay, fragile jars, hold the Holy Spirit within us. See, this treasure that we have is transformational for us, but not just for our gain. This treasure is for those who cannot see God, who do not know Christ, who have no relationship with Christ. So when they see us loving others through the midst of pain, discipling and growing, praying and serving, discerning and worshiping God. They witness and see the excellence and the extraordinary power of a God and not of us. This is God's gift of the Holy Spirit, so that when circumstances come our way, when issues press heavily upon us, and stress has wreaked havoc upon our lives, people don't see us running for cover. They don't see us hiding away. Instead, they see us worshiping God. Instead, they see us giving more and connecting more. Instead, they see us growing more and serving more. This treasure desires to be nourished, nurtured, and valued just like we do our jobs, our families, and our money. Paul is telling the church, because of the Holy Spirit, our circumstances should not overpower us. We should not lose hope when issues pop up, and they will. We should not lose heart when things are not going our way. We have this treasure in us. I want you to know something. Being an itinerant preacher is not an easy thing, because you're plucked from a place in which you're growing, and you're planted in some place new. But I have this treasure inside of me, and you have this treasure inside of you. So God doesn't pluck from some place old to put me in some place new. God plucks me from one place and just sets me in another, because the Holy Spirit has already gone before. You have this treasure in each of you, and we're called to take this treasure and share it with the world. I can't do this alone. I am not the Savior. I don't want to be, and I don't have to be. But Paul has told the people of Corinth, just like Paul was telling the people of Cokesbury, it is because you have faith and trust in God, it is because that Christ has placed this Holy Spirit inside of us, that when the heat gets turned up, we may get singed, but we will not burn. Without this treasure and this excellence, without this power, without God, we would be crushed and in despair and useless for the kingdom. See, our lives, our bodies are easily shattered. But what an incredible treasure that our glorious God has placed in each of us. His Holy Spirit that leads and guides us and sends us out and brings us in and sends us out and brings us in. We are God's ministry to the community. And if we go through a period of time when we cannot feel God's presence, I know I did when my mother passed away, God enables us to continue in faith. Paul says in verse 16, though outwardly we are wasting away, inwardly we are being renewed day by day. What an incredible witness the Apostle Paul has given us in these powerful words. You have this treasure in you, and God will indeed refresh your spirit over and over and over again. We may be struck down, but we are not destroyed. Many years ago, there was a media tycoon by the name of William Rudolph Hearst. He was the grandfather of the infamous Patty Hearst from the 1970s. Young people, you should look up that story. It is quite interesting. William Hearst saw a painting in a book and desired to have it. He commissioned his agent to find the painting and purchase it no matter what the cost. This agent searched for months and months and finally called William Hearst. He said, I have found the painting, the one that you have commissioned. It was purchased by you some years back and has been sitting in one of your warehouses. The treasure he desired, he already had in his possession, bought at a price value discarded. Let us not be like William Rudolph Hearst. Beautiful people of God, we have this treasure through God's mercy and grace. We have God's power and God's authority to let the light of Christ shine for all who need to see. Do not discard or undervalue this treasure sent by Jesus to bring knowledge of God's glory to others. We are the ministry that God intended for humanity. So you have this treasure in clay jars so that it may be made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from you. You are afflicted in every way, but you are not crushed. You are perplexed, but you are not driven to despair. You are persecuted, but you are not forsaken. You are struck down, but you are not destroyed. And you always carry in your bodies the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus Christ may also be made visible in each of you. So as we take these final moments to worship together, and if the Holy Spirit is moving you to join our community of faithful believers, we invite you to come. Come to learn what it means to be a follower of Jesus Christ. Come to learn what it means to live out your baptism. Come to see what it means to be baptized. We will not embarrass you when you come. We just want to speak to you and get to know you better. You are not alone. And as always, the altar is open for prayer. So come, for you have this treasure in each of you, and it's a divine paradigm. Amen.